Wikipedia, according to Wikipedia, is an online free content encyclopedia project helping to create a world in which everyone can freely share in the sum of all knowledge. Created in 2001, it recently celebrated its 20th anniversary and has grown to become the world's largest reference website. With 55 million articles in more than 300 languages, Wikipedia attracts 1.7 billion visitors every month. The freely editable content project is supported by the Wikimedia Foundation. As of 2020, the foundation employs more than 300 people and has annual revenues in excess of more than $100 million. But at a time when truth is under assault like never before, what role does Wikipedia play in the media ecosystem? What steps is it taking to counter misinformation? And when it comes to hate speech online, should tech giants and social media platforms be the ones to moderate that? These are some of the questions we put forward to the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of the Wikimedia Foundation. Catherine Marr talks to Al Jazeera. Chief Executive Officer of the Wikimedia Foundation, Catherine Marr, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Catherine, I've heard you say in the past that Wikipedia is not meant to be truth. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that Wikipedia is a constantly changing record of what we agree on and find important. It is full of facts, verifiable facts, but the idea of truth is something a little more complicated that requires us to negotiate it together and can change.
At a time when truth is under assault like never before, what role does Wikipedia play in this media ecosystem?
Well, I think what Wikipedia offers is a place for us to negotiate our understanding of the world. And that's what I mean when I say it's a little bit different than truth. All of us have different experiences that we come to the world with and come to conversations with. Wikipedia is a place where volunteer editors bring those different experiences from various different persuasions, political leanings, and have to negotiate to find some sort of consensus, which is what we all agree on as a sort of a matter of the general public. And that's really what Wikipedia reflects, is the sort of space of common ground.
From your perspective, what steps do you think internet-based and online platforms should be taking to counter misinformation and disinformation?
Oh, I think this is one of the greatest challenges of our time, as it's leading to fragmentation, that's making it harder for us as societies to rise to our greatest challenges. What I'd like to see is internet platforms taking a similar approach to the one that Wikipedia has pioneered, which is really being transparent about the ways in which they moderate information, bringing their community and users into conversation around what kind of community standards that we'd like to see, and having a harder policies around what the level of tolerance is for information that could be problematic or rise to the level of danger to the body public. And what I mean by that is we saw social platforms take pretty clear standards around information when it came to the COVID-19 pandemic, viewing this as a public health issue, a matter of life and death. But as we now know, political information is a matter of life and death as well. And so we'd like to see them exercise perhaps clearer execution on those terms of service or community standards that all of them have and could wield more effectively.
So something significant happened recently. Former President Trump was banned by Facebook, by Twitter, by other online platforms. You know, there are those who have celebrated the move and who say that it was long overdue. And then there are those who say it was a violation of free speech. What's your take on this?
No, it's a private platform, so it's not really a matter of free speech one way or another. That is a misunderstanding of the application and the responsibility of platforms as private entities. I think that that's really a question for those platforms to consider as they think about what role incitement plays on their platforms and the consistent application of those terms of use. You know, every single platform has them, and we know that there have been broad carve-outs for certain political figures, whereas those have not been applied to others. It's very uneven across the globe. We'd like to see greater transparency about when those are applied to which politicians, but also greater consistency. I think that that would be the right path forward.
If we're talking about moderation when it comes to incitement and when it comes to hate speech, what advantages does Wikipedia have when it comes to the issue of moderation and stopping the spread of misinformation that Twitter and Facebook and other platforms don't have? I mean, does the fact that there's only one page for each subject on Wikipedia make it easier when it comes to moderation?
You make it easy for us. Yes, absolutely. The fact that we only have one page, it's the same page that's viewed by absolutely everyone across the globe, is really important. And when it comes to being able to offer clarity and transparency about what kind of information it is that Wikipedia is offering, we're not a social platform in the same way as some of these other ones you've mentioned. There are no sort of algorithmic pathways for you to fall down. There's only one version of the information. It's very transparent of where it comes from. It links out in ways that allow individuals to be able to pursue their own interests. We play a fundamentally different role in the information ecosystem, and I think that's something that is really unique about what Wikipedia tries to offer. It's here to sate your curiosity, but it's not here to sort of trigger our worst passions or impulses and deepen what we believe. It's actually here to expand what we believe.
So Wikipedia is now 20 years old, and many are now praising Wikipedia for being a line of defense against misinformation. That's really a far cry from how the site was perceived in the early days, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's sort of an interesting moment for us as we celebrate our 20th birthday to see how far we've come. One of the things that we sort of hypothesized to be true is that part of the reason perhaps Wikipedia is so trusted today is that it's always been so transparent about the fact that we actually ask you to read it with a critical eye and not trust all the information at face value. It's why we have citations. It's why it's very clear the record of every single article that's ever been edited, and you can go in and see for yourself. You can even edit it if you see something that is a mistake. Wikipedia is a work in progress. We've been open about this since day one, and I think that almost is a place of humility or honesty that people are looking for in their sources of information in this challenging moment that we find ourselves in.
You know, I want to ask you to expand on that answer a little bit, because one of the things that's really interesting about Wikipedia is that you can see the history of revisions for the entries, which is something you were just mentioning. You can read some of the back and forth between editors in the talk pages. Do the conversations that happen between Wikipedia's editors reflect the kinds of conversations that are happening privately inside news publications and tech companies?
It's hard for me to say. I only work at the Wikimedia Foundation, so I don't know the inside conversations at news publications and tech companies. I would hope that those are the conversations that these different entities are having. Wikipedians have conversations and debate what is notable and what is newsworthy out in public. And I think that that's actually a strength of the model, is that that transparency creates an accountability as to what Wikipedia editors are actually up to. And you can always go back and take a look and say, well, why isn't this controversial fact? Or why isn't this news story on a Wikipedia article? And generally, there's a good answer in that discussion space that helps the reader understand why something might be included in an encyclopedia and why perhaps something has been held off for a later day as information continues to develop, or as we look for, you know, more sources to verify that in fact is the nature of the information.
So I want to take a step back for a minute and look at how Wikipedia monitors the content. I mean, could you tell us a bit more about the fact-checking process? How do you get to be a Wikipedia volunteer? And how many volunteers do you have?
Sure. So there are about 280,000 people who edit Wikipedia every single month over the 20 years that we've been in existence. That's tens of millions of people who've contributed to Wikipedia. There is a smaller group of individuals who are very active on a monthly basis, and they do most of the monitoring that you just mentioned. Of course, people who edit Wikipedia edit on so many different topics, truly just the complete range from pop culture to politics, from the sciences to space exploration. And the various different articles that you see are monitored by different people based on the interests that they have, from breaking news around politics to the pandemic that we've all been living through. Anytime an edit is made to Wikipedia articles, people get notified about those edits. There's a list of every single change that happens. It happens 350 times a minute, so it's a fast running list. But we support the editing community with software that allows them to flag what is likely to be a good edit that helps increase the breadth and depth of the encyclopedia versus what's likely to be vandalism or a malicious effort to undermine the quality of information in the encyclopedia. And that capacity to see everything that's happening in real time, to get notifications when edits are made to sensitive articles like those about political leaders or critical health information, is how the Wikipedia community stays on top of what's going on Wikipedia at all times. It's not to say that sometimes mistakes aren't in Wikipedia. Of course they are. People will add things, particularly around sporting events and the like. But those are caught very quickly and what we say reverted back to the original, more accurate form of the article.
The process by which information is posted on Wikipedia, I've heard in the past interviews with you where you say that you don't consider that a form of journalism. How do you describe it?
It's complicated, right? It's Wikipedia. It's something that doesn't really have a parallel in the information space, this idea of a collaboratively edited information, of general public information source or general information source. Wikipedia, I think, has a symbiotic relationship with journalism. It depends on journalism. Journalism is very important, much in the same way it depends on research and the sciences and the humanities and other areas of knowledge production. I think what we offer instead is a place of context where the general or where people can come and find general information about a topic that they're interested in the world that helps them go deeper on, for example, news stories of the day by getting the background, the context, the history all in one place so that they can be a better news consumer, a more informed news consumer. So it's really a symbiotic relationship that I think helps elevate both areas of knowledge production, but it's not quite the same. It serves a different role.
I want to go back to something you mentioned in a previous answer when you talked about trying to get information across in a time of a pandemic. You know, in an attempt to stop the spread of misinformation about COVID-19, the World Health Organization partnered with Wikipedia. How is that collaboration going?
Yeah, it's going really well. Thank you for asking. As soon as the pandemic hit, we knew that Wikipedia's articles about health information were going to be a front and center. We saw this during the West African Ebola crisis in the previous decade. And so our medical editing community was quite keen to get the best information possible out in Wikipedia articles. Of course, what made this very different from past public health issues is that this was a novel virus. We didn't know anything about it when it first swept across the globe. In fact, we're still learning quite a bit about it, and Wikipedia articles are updating all the time. We decided that we wanted to work with the best in the public health space, public health communications, and of course, had already had been in contact with the WHO about other initiatives around improving public health information on Wikipedia. So it was really just a matter of strengthening those informal connections into a formal partnership. And today, you can find more than 7,000 articles about the COVID-19 pandemic across Wikipedia, many of which are illustrated with information from the WHO, infographics about public health, everything from social distancing to hand washing to more of the particulars of the virus itself. And we're proud to play a role in helping the WHO and other health institutions get this really critical life and death information out in a way that people have access to, particularly since it's now in so many languages. Wikipedia articles about the COVID-19 pandemic are in more than 125 languages. Many of which would not necessarily perhaps be on, you know, the front of the list for public health translations, even for an institution like a UN body.
How much has readership increased and how much has user engagement increased during the pandemic?
It's increased a lot by double digits. We, at the beginning of the pandemic, actually didn't expect this. We were mostly worried about the health and safety of our readers and contributors and didn't know if people would have the time to contribute to Wikipedia. As it turns out, during shelter in place, lots of people did. And we saw those readership numbers spike to numbers that we've never seen, certainly not in my time here at the Wikimedia Foundation, and double digit increase in terms of editorship. Now, of course, you know, the world has continued to evolve and adapt to what's going on, and some of those numbers have gone down a bit, but we still see sort of a sustained increase across the board. So it turns out that when we are in a time in which nobody, it's unprecedented, we don't have good models for it, information really is a thing that people turn to.
Catherine, Wikipedia probably wouldn't exist in the form that it is without search engines like Google. Google, of course, belongs to the conglomerate known as Alphabet, which is one of the five tech giants that dominate the internet. Is the fact that there is a monopoly when it comes to search traffic a problem?
I'm going to say that I'm not a scholar of antitrust, and certainly it's perhaps a little bit outside of the remit of the Wikimedia Foundation to comment on. I think what we would say is that an open web is tremendously important, and it is important that people are able to have access to services that meet and fit their needs. I think a reality that when you have sort of single services that serve the globe, it's very difficult to be able to know for all countries, all languages, all communities, whether those do in fact meet those needs. And so ensuring that we have a web that is open both in terms of standards and open for competition is really sort of the basis of that free and open web.
Let me ask you this. Since Wikipedia is not ad supported, it means that you don't really have to worry about maximizing engagement or worry about presenting content that goes viral. That makes it much different than the other platforms that are out there that depend on clickbait, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the reasons that we are really proud to be a nonprofit charitable institution. The fact is, of the matter is that we just want to serve people's knowledge needs in the best way possible. And so that's going to look really different for everyone. Having the flexibility to be an institution that is singularly focused on that mission of free knowledge for the world allows us to make different decisions when it comes to what software we develop and roll out. It allows us to take sort of a longer term horizon and some difficult decisions, such as how we deal with censorship, for example. And I think that that's a great place for an institution with a mission like ours to be.
What are the biggest misconceptions that you encounter that people have out there about Wikipedia?
I think the biggest one, of course, is can you trust it? And what we usually say is, well, we want you to be a critical reader. We want Wikipedia to be the place that you start, but not the place where you finish. That's why we have all those citations. It's why the model of verifiable information is what Wikipedia is built on. The one thing that I think I would say is for all the teachers in the world who have perhaps rightly had sort of a critical eye on Wikipedia is that our students are using it anyway. Young people are using it to learn. And it actually offers a great opportunity to talk about the production of knowledge online, who contributes to the production of knowledge, whether, where does the information come from, how do you read it critically, all of the sorts of pedagogy around being an informed media consumer. Wikipedia can be a great learning experience for that with students because we know they're using it anyway, so we want them to have the best tools possible to use it well.
And Catherine, I want to look for a moment at some of what you bring from your past experiences into your role as CEO of the Wikimedia Foundation, because I've heard in other interviews that you've given, you said that you had gotten involved, in the early days of the Arab Spring and even before that, that you'd gotten involved in working within the space of using technology for the development of human rights and democracy. This is when you were working with groups like UNICEF and the National Democratic Institute. I remember reporting from countries like Yemen during the Arab Spring when I spent a lot of time there. Activists were so full of hope about the democratizing effect of the internet and mobile technology. A decade on, when you see how technology has been used to repress societies, to intimidate activists, how does that make you feel?
Oh, I feel naive. I think I was very optimistic, of course, about the way that technology could be used. But even in 2011, it became clear very quickly that technology could be used for great harm as well. We were aware that internet shutdowns were a tool of control, that surveillance was widespread in many countries. Surveillance of activists using their phones and their internet connections and their networks of other individuals defending human rights. And so I think that, it has always been a double-edged sword. It has taken perhaps some time for us to see that so clearly as we do today. Technology is very powerful, but it is, of course, with anything powerful, it can have its downsides as well. And I think that is actually one of the reasons that perhaps, if anything, I've been strengthened in my own belief in projects like Wikipedia that are community controlled, that start from the basis of some fundamental values around the right to freedom of inquiry and freedom of information, and that really do come from the basis of having a mission to make the world a better place, no matter where you come from, no matter what language you speak, this idea that someone has something to contribute. It's a fact of Wikipedia that it's only 280,000 people for a planet of billions, which means that there are many places that are not well documented. There are many histories, traditions, cultures, communities that could really benefit from your contribution, your photographs, your knowledge, your familiarity with, you know, your country and your home. And your experience.
Wikipedia has struggled with ensuring there is diversity among editors. It's been reported that they have skewed largely white and male, especially when it comes to English language entries. What are the efforts that are in place right now to try to fix that going forward?
Yeah, I think this is a very accurate sort of concern with Wikipedia. About 80% of our editors identify as male. We don't have specific, we don't have detailed numbers because we don't actually track this information. We have a strong privacy policy that is related to our belief that people should have the freedom to explore the information that's important to them without us knowing what that is. It's a means of protecting our readers in countries and places where information can be a concern relative to the sort of political environment that they live in. We would like to see more about Africa written by Africans. We'd like to see more women write about topics that are of interest to them, not just about women, but just about the world. The increased representation of peoples and the increased diversity of perspectives ensures that we have a better and more comprehensive understanding of the world in which we live, rather than simply sort of a white male European or North American perspective. And so at the Wikimedia Foundation, we're investing in growing our communities across the globe, investing in efforts that support women, both in terms of writing women's history into Wikipedia, but also increasing the number of women who participate in Wikipedia. And we're making it easier to edit Wikipedia.
Catherine, you wrote an op-ed for the Los Angeles Times that was headlined, "Wikipedia mirrors the world's gender biases. It doesn't cause them." What did you posit in that piece, and what was the response?
Yeah, I think what Wikipedia really does is it's important to think about it as a tertiary source. That is, it is a source that's built on secondary sources, such as what's reported in the news, what's written about in history books, what's written about in academic and scientific journals, and the like. And so what we were saying is that Wikipedia has long considered itself reflective of the knowledge that exists in other places, a summary of that knowledge. And that means that if we don't have great histories of women, if we don't have great histories of countries that have been colonized as written from the perspectives of those who are from those countries, then we are missing out on the perspectives, the understanding of the world from a great majority of people. In fact, probably the global majority of people. One of our contributors often says Wikipedia is a mirror held up to the biases of the world. We can't write about the things that have not been written about yet. And so we encourage that everyone takes an active responsibility in thinking about what does representation look like, what does inclusion look like in the knowledge space, whether it is thinking about the number of women that are interviewed for an article or the perspectives that go into talking about issues of global health to ensure that these are really encompassing of minority perspectives and of marginalized communities that haven't always been able to have a voice in the mainstream understanding of the world.
What does the future look like for Wikipedia?
I'm really excited about Wikipedia's future. One of the things that has been true is that we've seen an increase in contributions to Wikipedia, in readership of Wikipedia, even at a time when we are told that there is an information crisis. I think what that speaks to is the fact that information is something that everyone values and everyone needs. We see this across, you know, 300 language versions of Wikipedia. There's Wikipedia contributors on every continent of the globe, yes, including Antarctica, which speaks to this universality of our need for knowledge. This is something that we all have. It's something that every culture, community, country cherishes. And so for us with Wikipedia, we want to be able to serve the world. And so really thinking about what that means to truly have more content, more greater depth and diversity in more languages, greater thriving communities of knowledge creators in all countries. And then really also the flip side is, you know, we are both a knowledge community and a technology site. And so our goal is to ensure that Wikipedia remains as relevant, flexible, and accessible as ever for whatever that actually looks like. So there's certainly a lot of engineering in our future as we think about how to anticipate what it means to be in everyone's pocket or wherever actually that, whatever that might look like.
Chief Executive Officer of the Wikimedia Foundation, Catherine Marr, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you so much for having me.